pay close heed to my every word.
Last night I dreamed that I was a child out where the pines grow wild and tall. I was trying to make it home through the forest before the darkness falls.
You're listening to League Podcast number 378. I'm Matt Derson.
Clay Inferno.
And happy Father's Day. Well, belated by the time you listen to it. Happy Father's Day to anybody listening. Happy Father's Day to our own Joshua Lingle.
Yeah, not here, but... Happy Father's Day, bud.
Yeah, happy Father's Day, Josh. And any fathers. Happy birthday to all the fathers. Yeah.
You know when they say, you know, like, call your mother. Call your dad.
Yeah. Call your dad today. Absolutely. Call your dad. It's, you know, it's one of those things. Like,
had a good long call with my dad yesterday, and then this morning I felt obliged to do the same. It was my pleasure.
What a good son. Call them twice in one weekend.
And I gave him a little Facebook shout out. Threw up a nice throwback picture of him from my graduation in 1998 from Mass Art.
Wow, yeah.
Are you doing it, Dad? You like meeting up with Dad?
Yeah, we're going to have a little lunch. So,
Nosh. Love it.
Yeah, we're going to nosh. And we're going to one of his, you know, one of his places, a place that he likes.
And, of course, you didn't go out this morning because there's no going out before podcasting.
No, I didn't go out this morning. No.
No burial before coffee.
No burying before coffee.
Love it.
So, yeah, but it's also not that nice out, so.
It's not nice.
What the hell? I'm not going anywhere.
Usually when you say not nice, like I just said it, it means you're talking about, like, a person being a dick. Like, that's not nice. He's not nice. But it's not nice outside.
Weather, I meant to it, yeah. Been nice. In a weather, you know, in the weather. But, you know, I'll go out later. Usually I have this thing where it's like Sunday afternoon at like 4 o'clock and I realize I haven't done anything. And I'm like, shit, I should go out and do something. And I end up just like wandering around the street. Like if I go to CVS, I feel like I did something.
Oh, who doesn't love going to CVS? Some people, I hear people on other podcasts talk about going to Walgreens. Really? I think that's a common podcaster thing. Like where...
Walgreens?
That's where we're at. We're like, don't get out. We're sitting around doing podcasts, and then our big exciting thing is like a trip to Walgreens or CVS.
Well, I don't. I find CVS to be much more much better than Walgreens. Maybe it's just around
too,
here.
But, Walgreens sometimes has like stuff in there is like really really cheap. It's like going to Walmart. You're like, oh,
because it's kind of like. Because I don't know, the Walgreens that's closest to me is kind of dumpy and ghetto. I'm just gonna say that. I hope nobody who's listening who
you mean the one in Coolidge Corner?
No, that one's gone.
Oh,
the one in Washington Square.
Ah,
or I should no, it's not in Washington Square. Why did I say that? It's in Brookline Village, sort of.
Right,
going towards.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, that one is terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I had to go in there to get a. Oh my god, I hadn't been in there, like, I don't think, ever. And then, like, a couple months ago, I was riding around and I needed a new iPod cable. So I went in there and it took me, like, 20 minutes to fucking buy the thing. It was the worst.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just dumpy and whatever.
The people in there are terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, sorry if you work there and listening, right. But just do a better job. Right.
You're not.
Do a better job.
There's no way that people working at that Walgreens
listen to
the show. Because we know for a fact that no one listens.
Yeah, exactly. So the chances are
maybe slim. Josh got to listen to his Happy Father's Day shout out. But beyond that, who knows?
Beyond that, yeah, it's a crapshoot if anybody's listening. Oh, well, anyways, so I wanted to talk really quick for a second. Did you have, I saw this thing. This is the kind of thing that really interests me. So I put this on our Facebook, too, and I saw it on a couple other social media outlets, including our socials, including our own buddies at Sci-Fi Saturday Night. They actually post this as well. So,
friend of the pod.
Yeah. But so this guy had a comic book collection numbering around 36,000, going back to like when he was a kid. He's now 65 years old. He has the first appearance of Spider-Man. Amazing Fantasy.
In Amazing Fantasy 15.
It is.
Let's look at Amazing Fantasy.
You can see how Ditko drew on the cover is like maybe supposed to be a black costume anyways, but they colored it blue. But it was supposed to be black.
If you look at my look at my Skype icon right now. You see me?
Yeah. I see you.
Me and my best friend Spider-Man.
So you don't, but you don't have Amazing Fantasy number 15.
No, I've read it a number of times in reprints.
Well, of course, but no one, you know, very few people own a copy, but this guy does. And he wants to sell his whole collection and travel the world. It's supposed to be worth, well, it was in pounds because he's a
pound sterling.
He's a British man, and
It was kind of interesting.
So it was like $300,000 or something like that. I'm trying to remember what it was worth. Not that one comic. I mean, his whole collection.
Yeah. So he sold it and went traveling. I only read the headline.
He hasn't done it quite yet, but that's his plan. Because he had like a heart attack or something.
Oh.
And so his health, you know, and he's like, you know what? What am I, you know, what?
Carpe diem. He was like,
yeah, it's like, what am I going to do with all these comics if I'm dead?
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
And I thought it was, it was pretty interesting. And not only, it's 350,000 pounds, which.
That's like seven. Multiply that by seven or five. Five or seven.
I don't know. I don't really know.
That'll be dollars, I think.
Sorry.
They're worth more. Yeah.
Yeah, it's more.
More than a dollar. So.
So he said that the first appearance of Spider-Man, about 10,000 pounds, they're saying.
Very well.
So, yeah. But yeah, he's 63 years old, and he's decided, you know what?
Fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it.
I'm with it.
What are you going to do with it? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, then you. He's like, I'm going to travel the world with all these, with this money that I have. Sure. This is like found money, basically. Well, found, but he's had it. Now, obviously.
He could always save some of it and collect.
Yeah, he doesn't sell it all. I wonder how you would even. It's not like you just put. With something like that, you'd have to go to like an auction house, I would imagine.
Yeah. But like,
or I don't know.
One, like, you go to. If he has something that big, you could just bring it to like one of those, like Sotheby's, like. Comic book house or whatever.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, you don't just say.
Having one of those signature pieces, they'll look at the rest of your collection and tell you what they can, their 10% they can get out of it.
Right.
You know, even if it's not, but if you have Amazing Fantasy 15, like, of course, like, Sotheby's going to take your call and they're going to treat you nice and they're going to fly you to London.
Right.
They're going to, like, give you tea, tell you about all the pounds.
Well, it's funny. Obviously, you wouldn't. I mean, he's got to have a lot of, you know, rare and expensive comics.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
If he has that, yeah, sure.
If he had that one, he's probably got others. But like, you wouldn't sell. Like, you wouldn't just be like, "Hey, here's 36,000 comics." Start spending. Maybe like Nicolas Cage could come along and buy like his, you know, 350 pound, whatever they're 350,000 pounds. In comics, but like,
But I'm sure it's like a state sale, though. You could try to just give it to an auction place and just have them deal with the whole thing. And they can break it up into collections or runs or, like, whatever key signature things are for the actual, like, big auction. And Nicolas Cage could come along and just buy them all.
Good. You could just buy the ones you want. But it's pretty interesting. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's kind of neat. On the one hand, like, there are people out there who would just save that and probably have it buried in their, you know, put it in their coffin or something. But they did that on Six Feet Under. They did an episode of Six Feet Under about that, where this guy wanted this rare comic. They didn't say like Spider-Man or Superman. It was like a made up superhero, but like the guy wanted this. This guy died, and he wanted this rare comic.
Bartman number one.
Yeah, maybe. He wanted the comic to be laid in his casket. That was like one of his wishes in his will. And two of his friends tried to break into the funeral home and steal the comic.
I know, because it's either that or you're a grave robber, you know?
Yeah, so they were trying to get it before he got buried. And they had to convince him, not only like, hey, you're doing, like, this, you can't do this. This is illegal, but also like, this is your friend's dying wish, you know, you have to, for just what, for, you know, so anyways, but like, so like, yeah, there's a bunch of comics going back into circulation that probably a lot of people want. So yeah, however it works, auction or whatever, get out there. I mean, he's got, I don't know how many thousands, I mean, 36,000, I guess. To me, that didn't seem like a lot. I don't have that. Obviously, I have much less.
But that could be a lot if, like, a lot of them are wall books. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
A lot of them are, like, all just, like, you know, who knows if he even has multiple copies of, like, Giant Size X-Men or something. Like, maybe he's just, like, really, really, really a collector.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He seemed like just a kind of average dude. His dad used to buy him, like, comics when he would be buying his paper in the morning, he said, and you know, just that's nice. When he started. Yeah.
It's so funny because I kind of mistreated my comics in a way that a couple of them became less excellent condition this week.
Oh, I definitely did. Oh, this week or just in general?
Just this week, and I usually take pretty good care of them. Not that I'm selling them or anything, but I like left them on my bed, and a couple of covers got crinkled up. And my whole G.I. Joe, like, I think I, like, you know, it's on the bed, and I think, like, my elbow went all the way through it and, like, crinkled it all up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, mine, a couple of mine ended up in less than excellent condition, too. And I think just from putting them in my bag and going from the store to my home, I feel like they got a little rustled around in there for some reason. So, yeah, it's weird.
What can you do?
What can you do? Great. Right. I mean, I used to get kind of pissed. I'd be like, oh,
You get mad at yourself.
Yeah.
But that's it. No one else is ever going to see these comics.
Well, I mean, I often try to flip.
Yes.
Flip them. So I do have a kind of like, oh, shit. No, it's not in excellent condition.
I got this. They always hold the G.I. Joe Real American Hero for me. And I don't normally talk about it, but this one was like a Memorial Day one shot, like crammed in the middle of like the story. So like they didn't even, this is kind of like a timeless G.I. Joe story. It's almost like a special missions almost. And they do a tribute to all of this, they do a Memorial Day tribute. So they have Duke go visit like Flag's grave at Arlington Cemetery, and then they have the ninjas have like their own memorial, and then they have like even like at the pit, you know how like the pit is like supposed to be like a garage, and there's a chaplain's assistant in there.
Yeah,
they were like, what, they were like there, and they're like have a big plaque on the wall like, how come they have so many people that have died just like working in that garage, and why are there so many vehicles that go in there and then don't come back out? You know, and but it was pretty clever and fun, and they gave like shout out to Doc and Quick Kick and all the Joes that have fallen, like even like at the Vietnam Memorial Wall, they like go there. And then they show like a close up of the wall. You know, it has all the names on it.
Yeah.
And it, and Larry like wrote in all his friends' names, like people that have died. It's pretty dark in here, but like Herb Trimpey is like written on the wall and stuff.
Oh,
it was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it was like you know, some gave all. All gave some gave all is like the name of it. And it was like a pretty cool issue. So if you see 263 at the store, if you're so inclined to buy it, I recommend it. It was like a good G.I. Joe book.
Buy it, and then I'll give it to you, and you can give me your elbow one. And then you'll have one that's in excellent condition.
Maybe I'll just buy a new one. They didn't have any alternate covers this week either.
Oh.
Just that.
I feel like every book has alternate covers. Every week.
IDW always does. Or maybe I just
it's getting a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
And not even like this is $25 because this is the rare blah, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be like a special, like issue 1 or issue 100 or issue 50. Now it's like, oh, issue 23 has a special cover, huh? Oh, great.
Great.
Yeah. You know what's funny to me, and maybe going off of that, what you're going off of that G.I. Joe book, which is like a continuation of the 80s one, you know, and here they are referencing things that happened in the 80s or early 90s.
Like when they killed a bunch of people in like around 110, when my letter appeared.
Yeah. Your letter. Yeah. And I remember I remember G.I. Joe 19 as we are fond of,
yeah,
you know, when they killed a bunch of people and they blew up the pit or whatever and all that stuff. And it was like a big deal. But, we're referencing that. Like, only people, like, I don't know. Like, if you were, like, a kid buying comics, would you, like, have any idea what the hell they were talking about? Would you care? You know what I
mean? Yeah, it only really makes sense as a piece.
I
know a lot of people don't read Real American Hero, but I'm glad that it exists.
But would anybody besides guys in their 40s get like read it and enjoy it? You know?
I don't really know. Larry Hama is like kind of very niche. Like it's always good when he does like a new issue number one or something, but it's so rare that he's working on anything that's new, you know? So
right. It's sort of in the same vein that we had one of those symbiote Spider-Man issues come out, where it's like the black costume.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man is dating the Black Cat. And, you know, like this is like when I first started reading Spider-Man as a comic.
Right.
So this is going back 30, whatever.
Reading that? Cause that's like you're, Peter David or something.
Yeah. And I like Peter David and, of course, well, this one's Greg Land, but I feel like Bagley did the earlier issues, right? I don't know. Anyways, it's not bad, but it's kind of funny, and it's mostly like, I don't know if there's just a Black Cat thing going on because she's got her own issue, you know, in her own series now, and
yeah,
whatever, but it's mostly Black Cat, and it's kind of like, I mean, it was fun when it was in the 80s, but like, I don't know, why would anyone care about this stuff now?
Yeah.
And then, so anyways, Mysterio wants to find out about this alien costume. Somehow he's discovered that it's a weird thing. It's not just a regular cloth costume. And he's like, what the heck? Because he's been spying on Spider-Man. So he's like, he asked the Black Cat. He's like, I know that the Kingpin gave you your bad luck powers and Spider-Man doesn't know. So like, I'm going to blackmail you and you just do this for me and whatever. So he's like, I just need a little piece of the costume. And so she does it. She like goes over to his apartment. She's all dressed all like in like lingerie. And she's like, hey, Spider. Well, and then like, I guess she's like bangs him till he's falls asleep and then takes a little laser pen thing of the costume off, puts it in the little thing Mysterio gave her, and then that's it. So it's like, oh, she betrayed him or whatever. And whatever. But I think this is only 5 issues. So
Find out. Other Spidey stuff too. there was the Bagley drawn Spider-Man life story.
Oh, that's right. That's the one that Bagley did. This book is also kind of, they're on four now, but I thought it started off really, really cool.
Yeah.
Because it was like Spider-Man debating whether he should go to Vietnam and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's just kind of like, because this one is in the 90s.
Yeah, and he's like old man Spidey.
Yeah, but it doesn't have anything to do with like the 90s. It's just old Peter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I liked how the first one had...
They have like Clone Saga stuff in there.
I know. But I mean like in the world. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Not in the comics.
Not in the comics. I mean, yeah, because the clone thing was in the 90s, but like...
They're not. Referencing like Bill Clinton or anything.
Yeah, or I don't even know what you could have said. Maybe I'm just nitpicking, but it doesn't.
That's a very good point. I didn't notice that, but now that you say it, like, yeah, this is just a comic book story. Yeah,
it could not be set
in any time, and especially if you read like if you've read all of the like Ultimate Spider-Man and. I don't know. Just like your timeline of Spider-Man just gets all messed up in your head. So it's like, doesn't even really matter when it is.
You know? No, it doesn't matter. But if you're going to put the 90s in the title of your book, you know what I mean? The whole point of the book is to.
I completely agree. Except the only thing they did was they aged him and all the characters and all that.
But otherwise, now they got this thing, Mary Jane has left him, and they have twins and whatever. And
he's dating Jessica Jones.
Yeah. I mean, it started off kind of cool. Now it's just getting kind of, like, bizarre. Like, just like, wait, what? Like, I don't know. But of all the stories that you want to reference, like, all the great Spider-Man things in history in this, and then you bring up the Clone Saga. I don't know. But the one that's like you literally pretty much universally hated by everyone.
Yeah.
But hey, whatever. But they pulled kind of a bait and switch in this. Because they say, Ben Reilly was the real one and the clone was Peter Parker, like they did in the real comic. And you're like, I mean, here I am, I'm reading it, fidgeting and sighing, thinking, oh, God, here we go again.
Yep, I hear you.
But they went back and found it was just a thing by Norman Osborn. It was just like a farce or whatever.
Hey, let me tell you something. Let's take a look at Norman Osborn's chill grandpa basement apartment thing. Where he's like, he looks like he still smokes cigarettes, maybe, and he's got his slippers on and his foot's up on his footstool. But then, like, next to him, where there should be books, is just a nice old wooden display case for all his pumpkin bombs. And above his head, he has two gliders just hanging there, but he's just kicking back reading the newspaper with his slippers on.
He's got like a book. Actually, the book has, I can't read it.
Oh, he is reading a book.
Oh, it's the Count of Monte Cristo? It looks like he's
got his goblin masks up. It's the only
he's got a, I love his little lamp. Like,
he's got a nice lamp. He's like,
very modest.
Happy Father's Day, Norman Osborn. Really, he's really having a good Father's Day.
So who's this guy outside? That's what I want to know. Like, is he like Norman Osborn's bodyguard? When he can afford a bodyguard, he can't even afford a decent apartment. Like, who's this guy out here that Peter Parker drives up, lifts the motorcycle, scares the guy enough to just run away?
I disagree. I think that's his perfect Father's Day apartment. That's where he wants to live.
Yeah, maybe you're right. This is his like hideout, I guess.
Yeah, it's his. He's very comfortable. He doesn't need much.
He's got his bombs and his mask. That's all he needs. But of course, they do the classic, like, the glider is going to stab him. And then Peter Parker actually just crushes it. But then Norman has like a heart attack here or whatever, because he's really old. He's got to be really old.
Yeah.
At this point. And he dies saying, I hate you to Peter Parker. So, and then at the end, it's like the tearful, like he goes and sees Mary Jane and oh, and they, you know, yay.
Yeah, the kids.
Yeah.
The kids come
around. And they're reunited. She's got a nice house, speaking of houses. I guess that modeling career really worked out for her.
Or he was successful with Parker Industries, and then she got half of that shit.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
She got half.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I liked this book at the beginning. I'm obviously going to... Oh, I think there's only one or two more.
Yeah, so I'll buy it. See it through.
But
next is the 2000s.
Yeah, and then there they go. The what is this decade called anyway? Well, it's almost over. I guess I don't need to worry about it. But what are they? The teens?
These are the teens. Yeah,
these are the teens. Okay,
the aughts and the teens.
Well, we're doing the aughts, yeah, and then do the teens, and then I guess we're done. But like I really thought it was a cool idea at the beginning, and now I feel like they've gone just kind of like too far, like too,
yeah,
you know, like kind of off the rails.
This isn't that, it's not that interesting the older he gets.
Yeah, I agree. It's not, kind of not. So,
well, we'll see.
We'll see.
Maybe this would have been nice to read like all at once kind of thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. This might have been a good trade weight book.
Speaking of trade weight, I bet you didn't trade weight for the next Spider-Man book, Amazing Spider-Man 23, Counting Down to 25.
Right, Counting Down to 25. Whoa, boy.
Which which I guess the real thing to celebrate, and I get this from the ads, was that it's year two. So it's double shipping for a year, so that gives you 24 and then 25. That's what they're really celebrating. 25. A year. Year two.
Well, this is sort of just wrapping up the
creative. Ryan Otley can draw Avengers and the Fantastic Four fighting creepy monsters for sure. She-Hulk. Damn.
Yeah, that's no, cool. Artist is great.
He's got Cap in there.
They're fighting all these villains that escaped from
park.
The Central Park thing.
Vulture Spider-Man. Assembles Savage Six. The Savage
Six. Oh, that's right. The Savage Six. So Spider-Man in this issue doesn't even stop to help them. He's like, I gotta get home to MJ because he had this vision while he was all coked up or whatever. And he has this vision that she was like, you know, murdered or whatever. And he's swinging home and he's like, I gotta get to MJ. And like he gets there and the window is broken and he's like, oh no, I've killed her, you know, like metaphorically or whatever. And he climbs in the window and she accidentally broke her own window. Like what? Like, I don't.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, how did she break the, like, what happened? I don't understand, really.
It's stupid. Okay, I'm just going to say, I don't get it.
Oh, she fell because he left his Spidey costume on the floor. And I actually, know what, I think I remember from the last issue, she was like, you're just going to leave that shit on the floor in my house? You don't even live here. It was like something like that happened. So she fell, breaks and
tripped
cuts her
on
arm.
The costume and put her hand through the window? Like, what? I don't know.
The only thing the advantage to that dumb scene is that much like my favorite scenes of Invincible, where Invincible and Adam Eve would like hook up. They get a nice little Spider-Man loves Mary Jane page here where they're kissing.
Yeah, no,
Ryan Otley is, he's the best.
No, the best. I'm not criticizing the art at all.
What's with this centipede thing?
That's I don't on know. The window? Somebody's spying on them. I guess it's because they keep saying they're going to reveal a big villain in issue 25. I guess it's that guy. I don't know.
I like how Kraven the Hunter's son is now just Kraven the Hunter. Son is just Kraven the Hunter. He didn't really go anywhere.
They basically just went. Yeah, like they just did the whole thing.
I can see they we're going to do that anyways, but...
I know, but could you have waited a while, like a couple years or something, to bring back Kraven? Right.
That's the best part about Kraven, is you always forget about him, and then somebody brings him back.
And what's up with this guy running around naked the whole issue, until the end when he puts on the Kraven costume?
He was like out there in the jungle that whole time.
Yeah, so wear some fucking clothes in this jungle.
Oh, well. Very well.
Anyways, this issue, I'm sorry, I know I say this a lot, the art was great, but it was a bit of a disappointment, because I know they're kind of just, like you said, counting down to 25, so this is kind of just like, this is just treading water.
Yeah.
Yeah, filler. And then we're going to get one more, because 24 is
next. They wouldn't have needed to do filler if they just released those issues as just regular issues.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Was there another 6 issues that you didn't even read that were involved with this thing?
Oh, no, I didn't. Didn't read it. Didn't even... had no intention.
That was not a criticism.
No, I know. I'm sorry. I'm not criticizing you either for reading them. I just was like, I can barely take the one issue.
Yes. Right. Yeah. But we're still chugging along with Spidey.
Yeah. Great. And you know what? Like you said, the art is great. It's not bad. There's always a few good one-liners in there and stuff, and there's a few funny jokes. Oh, there was that funny bit. This part I did like. So, what's his name? Adamant or whatever this bad guy.
Black Ant,
thank you. He Taskmaster like turned him over to Kraven in one of the earlier issues, right? Mm-hmm. So that, but the bad guys are all like, "Hey, you turned us in, Black Ant. We don't like you." And then Taskmaster like comes to his rescue, and is like,
swoops him away, like Superman,
yeah, takes him out, leg. and then he says, "Hey, you would have done the same for me." And he goes, "Wait, you mean the betrayal part or the rescue part?" And he goes, "Yeah." Like, it's kind of like, what? I thought that was a pretty funny.
That's like definitely scene. Classic. Like, that's why I like Nick Spencer. That kind of stuff right there.
So that was funny. The rest of it, you know, I mean, like I said, it's filler. It's not really something. If you were somebody who doesn't need to buy every issue, you could skip this one for sure.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. Wait for 25.
Yeah. In fact, don't buy 20. Don't buy it next month either, or whenever. Don't buy the next issue.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah. So I got to talk about one more thing, and I'm sure you didn't buy this one.
You don't know.
Oh, well, I'm going to try you here. You didn't buy Event Leviathan number 1.
I did. Of course I did.
What? Oh, my goodness.
We're talking Bendis. We're talking a widespread DC event. I'm all in.
Widespread? Widespread? There were 3 people in this book.
Well, Justice League. You get to see Bendis do Batman and Maleev.
Yeah, he did Batman. Maleev, oh, the art was great.
Art was great.
So we had, Batman, Lois Lane, and Steve Trevor are basically the only people.
And I also have been reading Superman, so like it's all been leading up to this. So of course, right. I got it.
All right. No, I didn't know. I figured this would be one of those things that you just like skip.
No, I don't like the Bendis creator-owned stuff at DC. It doesn't really do much for me. I'm not reading those.
Well, those are the only things I am reading. I like those much better. Opposite day.
It's opposite day.
Opposite day, indeed. Well, that's good. We have a lot of diversity in this podcast.
Yeah, but we both love Bendis.
I like Bendis.
You don't love you love your wife. That's it. You like everything else.
Everything else has to come second.
You wait.
I guess just this is the thing. This is because I only buy Batman and I don't know much else about DC. So I had a hard time figuring out what was going on here. It's Lois. I can
walk you through it.
Lois and Batman talking a lot, and Steve Trevor is there, and he's kind of like spazzed out about something. So all of the sort of S.H.I.E.L.D. type organizations were destroyed.
Yeah.
By this Leviathan guy.
Well, they were, the Leviathan, like, infiltrated, it's almost like a Hail Hydra situation. They were all infiltrated at the top, and, like, they, like, imploded themselves.
Right. You know? They're in ruins.
They're in ruins. And
can I just say, too, also, that I didn't know, I'd heard of this, but I didn't know, I guess, what Argus stood for. It's an acronym for Advanced Research Group Uniting Superhumans.
Yeah, it's also what, it's just like SHIELD. Like there's probably like three more versions of that. You know what I mean? That are like aged or like appropriate to the time they come out. You know,
right? This one is a little this one's a little dated. I don't know. The word uniting, uniting is the one that got me. I was like, uniting, what a stupid thing. Anyways. But so I guess, yeah, I mean, the art, of course, Maleev is great. I don't really know what's going on, though. So, like, most of the action takes place sort of off screen. Like, they don't tell you.
Right. What. There was a big, like, sort of like EMP knockout in that building that they were building, the Odyssey, which was the Argus, like, headquarters. Like, that got blown up, and all the. You know, basically, like, there's no internet, and all the world's leaders are, like, in bunkers, and things are, they wiped everything out, pretty much.
And, at the very end here, this guy in the hat, is that, Rorschach?
No, that's Leviathan.
Is that Leviathan?
Okay. So, Leviathan was
sort of, kind of looks like Rorschach.
Code word for, like, the organization that took everybody out, but now we find out that it's this particular guy.
I see. Well, so
yeah. So I mean, you gonna read the rest?
I don't know. It's gonna be a game time decision when I get to the store and the second issue's there. I don't know. We'll see. I have a kind of.
But you can't go wrong with the Maleev art.
No, you can't go wrong with the Maleev art. But I don't know. I mean, I guess it's good to have Lois have a little screen time.
Oh, she's apart always from in Superman.
Yeah, like but yeah,
part of, she's like the main other character of that book. They're always doing stuff together.
But Superman isn't in this book at all. They just kind of they talk about him like he's Jesus. Like, oh, him.
Yeah, like, he's out fighting. Rogol Zar.
Yeah, he's doing like a Captain Marvel, like, well, there's other planets in the universe.
Yeah. He's in the Phantom Zone. fighting that guy. In his book. So that's why he's not there.
But so it all I mean, does I'm sure tie he'll show into, up.
The Bendis run. So.
Yeah. Well, whatever. We'll see if I buy the other ones. I might. I don't know. It's Green the art is good.
Pops in.
Yeah, Green Arrow pops in, shoots Steve Trevor with like electric-y arrow, knocks him out. After Steve Trevor shot Lois.
I know.
Like, see, I just don't understand. Like, I don't get any of this stuff. I don't know.
It's because he thinks that Batman and Lois are like part of Leviathan, and he can't trust. He can't trust anybody. It's like a Hail Hydra situation for sure. Just think of it like that. How do I know I can trust you?
Well, you can't. I don't know. But, I mean, it's kind of... got to be pretty paranoid to just shoot someone.
Yes.
With no real proof that they're bad.
I know. Especially if it's your friend's wife.
Yeah. I mean,
Superman. Your friend is Superman. His wife.
Right.
You're just going to shoot her? Nice. That's almost like the Lucius Fox thing in Dark Knight. It's like... So you think that your boss, one of the richest, most powerful men in the world,
is a dressing
up like a vigilante?
Blackmail? He goes around beating criminals to a pulp, and your idea is to blackmail this person?
Your idea is to shoot Superman's wife?
Yeah,
idiot.
So is Steve Trevor like? Who is he in the DC Comics continuity now? Like, obviously in the movie, he's you know, Wonder Woman's dead lover.
Well, he's not dead. He's just always ignore the movie part. It's just like that's like Wonder Woman's Lois Lane. Like he's always like the boyfriend. And he's like in the armory. He's just in like the army or the navy or the air force. Maybe it's the air force. But I guess in this currently now Bendis wrote him so that he's part of Argus, which would make sense if you were in the military and Argus is kind of like and like Suicide Squad and like they're all like just part of the military. So that does make sense, but I'd never really seen him as an Argus person before, to be honest. Okay. So that is new.
Okay. Well, I don't know any. You know more than I do, so.
In the Wonder Woman book, he's just like Wonder Woman is out on his adventure, and so far as she knows, he's just home, like, you know, like reading books and like cooking and like making sure the fluffing the pillows, making sure everything is fine when she gets home. That's literally what he's doing. He's just home now.
He's a house husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so wait a minute. Is Diana like? Does she have like in the movies? She's like this company woman, you know? Like, right? She's got this big. Right? I don't know.
No, right now she is G. Willow Wilson is writing her. Right now she's just she's trying to find, I know because I review this book every week when it comes out. She's like it's almost like the same thing Marvel did where like the Asgard was now on Earth. Like all of the people from Mount Olympus and Themyscira are like displaced and they're like on Earth somewhere, and so she's kind of like going around to all those different places.
I see.
It's pretty cool. All
right.
But yeah, she's not running her company or anything. She has to say she's off with the goddess of love Aphrodite on a big long scale adventure that's almost kind of like a Dungeons and Dragons kind of thing. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. So
I know you have a soft out, but maybe we should bang through like whatever books you want to talk about. We can talk about them each for like a second.
That was all I read.
did you read Silver Surfer Black?
No, I didn't. Should I have?
Are you reading the Guardians stuff and the Thanos stuff?
I have a couple Guardians books. I'm a little behind on that one.
Well, this one is totally like if you like Silver Surfer and the Stan Lee tradition, like this is like he is off in with the Power Cosmic and he saved all the Guardians like from getting sucked into this black hole, but he goes into the black hole and he kind of becomes part of the black hole and so he's like slowly turning black, like he uses up all the Power Cosmic in his hand basically to turn part of the black hole into like livable like planet, kind of like the on Star Trek
when
Genesis
Project device. Genesis
like he uses his Power Cosmic in his hand to turn part of the black hole into like a planet where people can live, but it like took away part of his Power Cosmic and instead of his hand being silver, it's all black.
I see. So pretty soon he's going to get all black.
It's kind of like trippy, like cosmic, like Stan and Jack kind of shit. It's pretty cool, man. Pretty good.
All right. I should check it out then.
And there was also a Punisher.
Oh, Punisher. I did. Yes.
Did you read?
Buy that, but I did not read it. I'm sorry.
He's on his way. Punisher is on his way back to the city. And in order to do that, he's kind of got this like, got to team up with some of these. What is it? The guys? Is it AIM? The guys?
Advanced Idea Mechanics with the yellow.
Yeah, I think it's these AIM guys, but they have maybe they're Hydra guys. So they have a big H on their shirt. But anyways, he's like teams up with a bunch of them, and then like of course at the last minute, like betrays all of them, kills them, fucking like you know. A shoot the driver kind of thing, and he's just out of there. He steals their boat. They're stuck on the island, and he's like, "Yeah, I'll return this boat to you." And then you know, like after a lot of explosions, and he just blows everybody up. And the last people that he leaves alive, he's just like, "Fuck you! I'm stealing your boat. Bye."
Yeah, it looks like he's gone all Rambo here with his bow and arrow. He shoots them all in the eye.
Yeah, he just makes his way. He escapes the island. Like,
and he sets this like trap where they all fall in and get spiked and whatever.
Yeah, the punji sticks or whatever.
Yeah, these are definitely Hydra guys. You're right.
Yes. Yeah, Hydra.
So they all deserve to die.
Yeah. And then he's like, steals their boat. And then, so next issue, I guess he's back to New York City, and Kingpin is his next target.
Mayor That's Kingpin? Next issue. All right. Very well. Did we talk about this this ad here? Well, like, for they're combining events.
Yeah.
Where they have Inferno Attacks, Days of Future Mars, Acts of War, which I guess is kind of like Acts of Vengeance, but a little different.
Wait, where did you see that? Oh.
This is in the Punisher book that I just flipped through.
Why does
Inferno Attacks?
Secret Warps with Ghost Panther, Arachnite, Iron Hammer. I saw that ad. I didn't see this other one.
Well, that's what this is what it's about. Part one, Acts of War. Soldier Supreme Annual, number one. Part two, Inferno Attacks, which I guess is Atlantis Attacks and Inferno.
Oh, well, I guess I'm, you know, it's like, be careful what you wish for, right?
Yeah, seriously.
So I manifested this.
Yeah.
That's so funny because I read this and I read all of the comic titles, but I didn't read those things above it like you were just reading.
Yeah.
Acts of War, Inferno Attacks. Great. They stole my idea.
Did they?
Days of Future Mars.
Yeah. What is Days of Future Mars? I know Days of Future Past. Where does the Mars come from?
Secret Warps. I hate the word Secret Warps. I hate that so much.
Warps. It's such a stupid sounding thing. Come on, Marvel.
Come on, Marv.
Come on, Marv.
Well, I know you got a softie. And
well, is there anything else you wanna bring up before we?
I think that's it. I talked about Punisher. You know, the Flash Year One continues. That's pretty good. And I talked about G.I. Joe. Got to sneak that in there.
Yeah, that's good. You got to sneak a G.I. Joe.
But that was like that's a special issue. That was like kind of a one shot, which they don't do many one shots of Real American Hero because they're not going to like waste like just have just one. Be like something extra. They just, since they're only producing that once a month, they just like, do it this time. We'll resume the regular story next time.
Well, there
we go. No one would be like going out there to buy a special edition. It's like, just slide it in.
Except you.
Probably. I mean, I would get it, but I think they would think it would be a waste of their money.
Yeah, to put out an issue that probably not many people are going to buy.
Yeah, just All make right. it issue 263.
That's it. Yeah, well, I like that, though. I like that. Stop making me buy extra shit.
And also, a lot of comics used to be just like that anyways. But
exactly. Exactly. Very I just it's kind of like with The Amazing Spider-Man. Just throw it, just put them in, just make the HU ones the regular issues.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, like I said, I gotta go, but yeah, you can ask the league anything. We have a thing up on all of our socials. Is that what they call it? Facebook. That's what they say. The kids. That's what the kids are saying these days.
I'll make sure it's on our Twitter, too. You just go there, fill out the form, ask us anything. Ask us about comics. Ask us about which is better, Daredevil the movie or Daredevil the TV show. Ask us whatever.
That was a weird one to bring up. But hey, all right. And yeah, that's all we got for this week. But yeah, ask us anything, and happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
See you chumps later.
There you fuck.
My father's house shines hard and bright. Stands like a beacon, calling me in the night, calling and calling, so cold and alone, shining across this dark highway where our sins lie unattended.
You could see how Dick Goldrew on the cover is like maybe supposed to be a black costume anyways, but they colored it blue.